J72, we start yesterday, Pasuk Yud Gimel, Perek Aleph, Perek Aleph Malachi, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Yud Gimel, Vamartem, Hinei Matla'ah. Matla'ah means, you say that we are worn out. According to the Mitzvah Stavid, the Pasuk here says that Klal Yisrael, they say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're worn out, we're serving you so much, we're so involved in your service, that we're utterly worn out. And in this context, it means that we brought to you a korban that is very heavy, that's very fat, and we had it carried on our shoulders, and we're exhausted. And Hashem says, V'pachtemos, according to the first interpretation, Hashem says to Klal Yisrael, it will come to the list, but according to the second interpretation, Hashem says, thank you very much. According to the second interpretation, it's V'pachtemos, so you're liars. You are a bunch of liars. If you were just to blow some air from your mouth on the animal would move. That's how light. That's how light. Obviously, it's an exaggeration, but don't tell me that you're worn out. You do nothing. You're lazy. You haven't lifted a finger for me. This animal that you claim weighs 1,000 pounds that you've schlepped, it's baloney. It doesn't even weigh like a feather. If you would blow on it, it would move. The second interpretation is the first is that you give me grief, and really it should have said vipachtem osi, you give me grief. Hashem says when you tell me these lies, and the reason why it says oso and does not say osi, we spent 10 minutes yesterday discussing this, is called what's called tikkun seifrim. Amar Hashem tzvokas ve'vaha ve'sem, you bring. What do you do? Hashem spells that in detail, what you really do for real. You bring gazul, you bring stolen goods. V'yesapi seach, you bring lame animals. V'yesach choyle, you bring sick animals. V'havei semes amincha, and you also bring mincha. Ha'eretze oisom yetchem, omar Hashem. Hashem says, do you really think I'm going to find this acceptable? This is ridiculous. Now we did the mitzvah d'stavid. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Yedalud, the Or Noichalus, we didn't deny you dead, the Or. Cursed is those who are Noichalus, is an unusual word. It means a conniver, a person who is a crook. Cursed be the Noichal. The Noichal is in an Ish Orum. If we look at the Mitzvah Sion, he translates Noichal Inyan Armimus, deception, cunningness. They dealt with him in a cunning way. Cursed be the person who is corrupt, and the conniver, the yesh be'edroi zohar, and he has in his flock a male animal, v'noider v'zaveach moshchos la'Hashem. And instead, in other words, the word zohar means that he has in his possession an animal which is good. This is just a code word. Zohar means a male animal, but in this context it means an animal that is pleasant, that is fit to be offered as a sacrifice, but instead he only brings to Hashem the garbage. He has in his flock a zohar, but instead he vows to bring noider, he vows, v'zoveh, and he slaughters moshchos, a disgusting animal la'Hashem. So Hashem says, Ki melech gadol oni, amar Hashem tzvokos, ushmi noira ba'goyim. Now, obviously, we need to understand the connection between these expressions. But let's do one thing at a time. The Mitzvah Stav, it says.
The same thing that
he
said before.
Yes. Right. Kof al ho'inyin b'milim shoynos. Correct. There appears to be a lot of repetition. Obviously, if you really go deep down into the root, we're going to find differences. But on a very simplistic level, it's poetic repetition. So let's see the word. Let's see the Mitzvah Stavit Pasuk Yedal in the Mitzvah Stavit, page 873. V'ar Nochel Ar Hamarim Lemash Ein Biyada Yosef Mufcha Lakav. Cursed be the person who is a deceiver, and he claims that he does not have in his possession anything that is select, anything that is proper to bring to Hashem. Mimaloha Mashehevi. Avol B'Emes. The truth is, he has plenty of good things in his house. Yesh be'edro, he has in his flock a zohar, mufchar, he has an animal that is in good condition, v'toy, v'chor, v'oyla, v'noider, v'hu minader, V'zaveich l'Hashem said nishchas v'chachusha. Instead, he offers HaKadosh Baruch Hu defective korbanos. Ki melech gadol b'sh'ani u'meharu'oyim kein l'hakav l'fonayim min minamuvchar. So the end of the pasuk we're saying is that what you're doing is not proper because you don't know who you're dealing with. You're not just dealing with a child. You're dealing with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the creator of this world. Everything that you have in your life is only because of Hashem. How dare you offer to Hashem defective merchandise, bring to Hashem sacrifices that are below standard, and you have, when you have in your possession more than enough of select and good korbanos to bring to Hashem. Ushmin nara ba'goyim.
Isn't it kind of a replay of Hevel?
What do you mean Hevel? A play on Hevel? What do you mean? What do you mean?
Hevel and
Hevel. I mean Kayin. Kayin Hevel. Right, Kayin. So Kayin, correct. So Kayin, he brought from the worst. Inferior quality, right? That is correct. Right, you're right. You're saying very good that this whole world, you're bringing from the what he calls here the moshchas, the moshchos. It's interesting. There's another word called mishcha. What's the word mishchas? There's a word in the word the same exact letters, different vowels. See, this is another example where we go mikotzel akotz and mishchas. How do we know that kohanim, when they eat the korbanos, they're supposed to eat it b'derech kovod? They're supposed to eat it with the korbanos. They're supposed to cook and they can prepare the meat that they receive any way they wish, and they're supposed to add ingredients and seasoning and spices to make the food taste delicious. And Ad Kedekach, the Meiri says that the Kohanim are required even to sit down when they eat the food, the Kodshim. It's not dignified for nobility to eat standing. So I always tell you this, in all of the models of the Beis HaMikdash that you will see throughout the entire world, whether you'll see in print or in Eretz Yisrael actual models, they're missing picnic tables. Inside of the Azara, there are picnic tables where the Kohanim sat down and they ate kachin. Because all you'll say, but ein yeshiva bo Azara el lamalche beistah belvat. The only ones that are allowed to sit in the Beis HaMikdash are the kings of the Malchus of David. That's only when they're not involved in doing service. But when the Kohanim are involved in eating the kachin is part of the kapara. The ochlu oisama sharkuba bohem. They have to eat the kachin. It's not their cheretz to eat when you are standing. It's supposed to when you're sitting. It says
in the Azara,
kodshei kodashim can only be eaten in the Azara. Only
which
in the Azara.
Karbon
chatos, karbon chat, karbon oshem. A chatos and an oshem is kodshei kodashim and is eaten by the kohanim only in the Azara. Shlomim. There were three chatois that were offered on that day. There was the chatos nachshon, the chatos of the miluim, and the chatos of Rosh Chodesh. And all three were supposed to be eaten by the kohanim in the Azara on that day. And only two of them were eaten. But the carbon of nachshon and chatos of the miluim, but the chatas of Rosh Chodesh v'inei seraf, Doresh Dorash Moshe v'inei seraf, it was completely burnt. Well, and that's so it has to be eaten. And when you eat, so according to the Meiri says explicitly, they ate sitting down. The Kohanim, when they ate Kodashim in the Azara, they ate the Kodashim sitting down, which means in all of the diagrams that you see of the Beis HaMikdash, in all these beautiful illustrations, they're missing something so basic and fundamental. Where are the picnic tables for the Kohanim to sit down in the Azara and eat the Kodshei Kodashim? It's missing. How could it be? They're missing the picnic tables. When they did the Avodah, they had to sit down. According, at least to Meiri, you can suggest it according to that they don't have to.
The floor?
What?
On the floor?
You say on the floor? That's interesting. I never thought of that.
Who invented the chair?
That's very interesting, because that's how the Muslims. No, is it only because when the Muslims, when they eat, in their I don't know, not all the time, but they are accustomed to eating sitting on the floor. So you're suggesting that in the Beis HaMikdash, when they ate, they sat down on the floor. That's interesting. It's something which was done in ancient times, It's very, it's something they have to worry about. But the
problem. What happened if they had like standards along the wall and they just popped them open and they sat down?
It doesn't say that. So where are the standards along the wall? They had to sit down though. Okay, I hear. However, on the other hand, in the Gemara talks about, let's say the Seder, we don't find them sitting on the floor. We find them sitting down. Oh, Mark is here. Where has Mark been all this time with his grandchildren? You mean Mekayim, the mitzvah of Yadatim, Levonech, Levonei Vonecha, Yoyim Asher Amadata. Okay, Mark is back. But
you forgot the first part of the pasuk.
What first part of the pasuk? What?
Sham Lachamoit Ben Tishkach.
That's right. Okay, you're right. Good. Okay, but the question over here is, and the point I want to make over here is this word over here. The word in the Torah is mosh. I think it's mosh chas. It's the same exact word. What?
Spoiled.
Oh, here it means spoiled. Here, but in the Torah, when it says this word by the Kohanim, this we have to add this to our list of words which goes mikotze elakotze. If I'm not mistaken, this word is the makar. The same exact word with different vowels is the makar that karkotchim have to be eaten in a state of dignity. Let me find the pasuk at this moment. It shouldn't take more than a second. Here it is. Let's see. Tanakh. No, that's bad. That pasuk. That pasuk is a pasuk that is actually they're a blemish. Ki moshchasam means that's balmum. Okay, here it is. Sheben mishchas kodesh.
That's what the translation here says.
Yeah, in this pasuk, yeah. In this pasuk, yeah.
He's quoting Eliezer Mibojan Tzi.
Yeah.
He compares that to the word moshchasam.
Moshchasam, that's used in reference to a bali mumim, kohanim, who are blemished.
Animals that are blemished are called
kimoshchasan. But the word kishemen mishchas Hashem aleichem vayasu. The mincha shai, where's the mincha shai over here? Let me find moshchas. Yesh sefarim shahaches bekomatz. That's what we have. We have moshchos. In our girsa, in the art scroll, it says moshchos. But in the Mincha Shai, his girsa was Moshchas. If you look at the Dibra Maslin, the Mincha Shai, he says, Yesh Sfarim, he has in the Dibra Maslin Moshchas. And he takes note that the Yesh Sfarim Shahaches Bekomatz, Kmo Umokor Moshchas in Mishra, Sefer Echad Kesiv Sian, Mosra Zed Dinalachi, Beis, Vinira Lisha, it's in the Lema Beis, Shahamem Bekomatz, Lafuke Mishchas, Meish Mareu. Okay, I don't know what that word means. Okay, I don't have the pasuk here. I have over here three pesukim over here in Vayikra, my phone. In Pesach, Ol Moed.
It's not the same kamatz. Under the chet is kamatz gadol.
Okay.
And under the mem is kamatz katan. Mosh chad mekulkal.
Mosh. That would mean okay. Mosh chos. Okay.
Is spoiled. Is being spoiled.
Okay, it's not the same. It's not okay. It's not the same. It's a komatz katan, which is like a shva. No, it's like a shva. It's like a chat patach. Okay, whatever it is. Okay, you're right. But the point where I want to make over here is that this is just another example. We have a word, and the word you have letters, and if you change the vowels, you transform a word 180 degrees. The two classic words that the commentators always will say are really one classic word is Yishrosh Yisharish. Exactly the same letters. Yishrosh means to take root. Yisharish means to uproot. You go 180 degrees. Exactly the same letters. When you manipulate the vowels, you go mikotze elakotze. Here is another example. We come through this example so many times. My favorite example is tzioin. I always tell you this, I've told this 1,000 times. Tzioin. What does it mean, tzioin? Ki mitzioin teitze sora. What does that unusual word mean? Well, in Yeshaya, there's a word, it appears, I think, 4 times, maybe more, maybe less, of tzoyun. So not tzioin. Not, that's a different word. That's a marker. There's a very popular word called tzioin. a marker. Many people like to say the word tzion comes from the word tzion. It's a flag, but it's a place, a marker in this world. Let's not go there. I'm telling you an entirely different idea. Tzion, a komatz beneath the tzadi. Tzion. What does that word mean? That word appears in Yeshaya multiple times. It means a piece of land that is arid. Desert land.
The word mitsuyon?
No, that's a different word. That means a marker. See, that's from tsiyun. Mm-hmm. That's a different word, different vowels. That's a different idea. But there's a word in Sefer Yeshaya that appears multiple times, and the way it's spelled is exactly like the letter, like the word, like ki mitsuyon teitzei soira. The difference is the vowels are such, where the pronunciation is tsoyun. Tso komatz. And then there is a shurak by the vav, the tsoyun. What does that word mean, tsoyun, in that part of those psukim? It means a piece of earth, a piece of land in the desert, or not necessarily the desert, that is void of any moisture. There is absolutely no moisture, no liquid. It's dry. It's as dead as can possibly be. A piece of land. Take that word. That word and manipulate its vowels so that you will go mikotze elakotze. And instead of tsoyun, tsiyoin. What would that mean if you go mikotze elakotze? A piece of land that's wet, moist, that's full of moisture. In the context of spirituality, what is mayim? Hoi kol tsone, luchu l'mayim. If someone is thirsty, go to the water. Ein mayim ela toira. Ki mitzion teitzei soira. Tsoyun is a piece of land that is dry, arid. Manipulate the vowels to go mikotze lakotze. Tsoyun is a piece of land, a piece of earth that's moist, that's wet, that's fresh. And in the context of spirituality, the wetness represents Torah. Ki mitzion teitzei soira. That's what it means, tsoyun. Just like yiskol, Yisakel, to stone someone, to remove the stones. Yishwash, Yisharesh. Here is another example. Mosh Chos. Mosh, because the word Mosh Chos in this pasuk means disgusting. It means blemish, disgusting. Disgusting. The word Ki Mishkishemen Mishchas Hashem Aleichem. Okay, yeah, that's what
it
means. Yes.
On the word mashkas, and you'll see even more clearly what you are saying.
Okay, let's take a look. Let's go to the videotape. Let's go on page 873. Pasuk Yedal, the Arnochel and Rabbi Lezim, the Bojan see. I see, I'm reading it. Okay, the wide line mashkas, mifutam. Ooh. So he says, not like all of the other comments. Hitaka says it means fragrant.
Which commentary do you put together?
Rabbi Eliezer Mibozhan C, on page 873. Page
fat and healthy.
Fat, 873. I'll tell right minutes to the page.
Which page?
Eight, Rabbi Eliezer, it's like right in the middle of the page. Rabbi Eliezer Mibal Gan C. We call it Mibozhan C.
Yeah,
okay, so there on the first wide line. On the first wide line, it says Mosh Chos Mifutam. He translates not to mean that it's defective. We have been translating the word moshchas to mean defective. He translates the word moshchas to mean that it's fat, that it's beautiful,
healthy.
Kimo kain mishchas meish marehu. I don't know what that pasuk means, but it means in that context, it means bori votov lemoshcha. Ki moshchas. Then he says over here. Let's see over here.
In Zemiros, in Vahem Limashkar, how does that go again? Oneg Begam Simcha Vahem Limashkar.
Oh.
We say.
Okay, so Limashkar means for anointment. He's saying something very different. Look what he say. He's saying something very, very, very.
But he is illustrating the principle that you said about the opposites in meaning.
No, but he's saying, look further. He says he's a little bit of a twist, what he says. He says it means that it's fat, but the animal being fat is not necessarily an advantage. Read further what he says. Then he goes,
the best of them have a mum.
So read further. Ki pitumam vishumonam shebohem, the best of them, mum hu bom lefonai. Why? Hoyel shemechuser ever hu bideitza. Okay, so in that case, it's a blemish. There he's saying that, I see what he's saying, Ramchal. He's saying, even though the animal, he's giving an interpretation that's not typical. The typical interpretation of this pasuk of ki mashchasam bohem mumbam is means these animals are disgusting. The word mashchasam, according to the typical translation that you'll find in all of the svarim and all of the mefarshim, is the parsha there enumerates blemishes, various type of blemishes that can be found in a korban. And then the pasuk summarizes and says, therefore, do not bring animals with these blemishes because they are disgusting before me. So the word means disgusting. Moshchasam, hashchasa, disgusting. He, Rabbi Elazar ben Bojan, is saying that's not what it means. He's saying, even though they have everything else going for them, everything else is beautiful. The animal is fat and it's healthy and it's beautiful and it has alamilas. The bottom line is, it has a blemish. It has a blemish. It's missing a toe. It's missing a missing part of the leg. It's missing something. And therefore, despite the fact that in every other criteria, despite its appearance as being magnificent and scoring all A's and all the other, you check off all the other boxes, the bottom line is, when it comes to this box, it doesn't get a check. And therefore, ki mum bum. That's a very novel translation of the pasuk. That's not the way the average person is going to translate the pasuk for you. If you open up this pasuk to the average person, you show them the pasuk, and you ask them, please translate the words they're going to say to you. Well, we have here a list of blemishes, and the pasuk summarizes. All of these blemishes are defects. Ki moshchosam bohem. They're defect. Their defect is in the animal. And now we have poetic repetition. Kofal hamilois. In order to bring out the beauty, mum bom. Basically, the word mum and the word moshchosam is the same, pretty much. Their defect is in their body, and therefore there's a blemish. It's repetitious. So what else is new? We have a lot of expressions in Tanakh that are repetitious. Along comes Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Bojan C, and he says it's not the pshat. The word moshchasam means it's beautiful, it's fat, it's healthy, it's geschmack, it scores A's. In the secular world, this animal costs a fortune. Oh, but there's a little teeny blemish. It's missing a little part of the animal. Guess what? So in the eyes of the Ummah Yisraelim, so it has a blemish. We don't look at the details, we look at the big picture. Hashem says, not when it comes to my Beis HaMikdash and my Mizbech. In my Beis HaMikdash, it means ki moshchasam bohem, despite the fact that it is magnificent, it is beautiful, it is magnificent, it's still disqualified because mum bum. It does have a blemish. So according to Rabbi Elazar ben Bojan, he's translating the word mosh, the word moshchos, the way it is, the way it's spelled, without any means, it is beautiful. It is beautiful. Vizoveach moshchos lahashem. So what then is the pasuk according to him? How then do you read the pasuk according? What's the interpretation of the pasuk? So let's go see how he explains the pasuk according to him. According to him, let's go back and read the pasuk Yudalid in his interpretation. Let's see. Ve'arur nochel umarim shemare kilu luchvaydi ose ve'eno ose elah hanasai. He understands the person is a deceiver. He comes to the Beis HaMikdash. He makes believe he's going to bring the most magnificent, beautiful carbon. He puts on a show. It's all a show. It's all a show to give honor to Hashem. But the truth is, the only reason why he's bringing the sacrifices is because he's a politician, needs the votes. He needs the Jewish vote. He needs someone to vote for him. So he needs a photo op, and they're clicking away, taking pictures, taking video of him, and inside of his mind, he couldn't care less. This thing is total nonsense. He's just doing this for the cameras in order to get the vote.
I can see something here. It's amazing. It says before, Bahabetem Gazul Pisayach Mechole. Actually, how can you see that he's Gazul? He's a beautiful behema. Can you see that he's Pisayach only when he starts walking? But he doesn't walk. It doesn't walk, so it looks perfect. Chole, he's a sick. There's something inside, but you don't see the behema.
It's invisible.
That you can see the move. It's a pasuk.
These are all invisible.
Shit kol basar et darko al haaretz. The beautiful human being is a beautiful human being.
You would never know.
However, et darko hu ishrit.
Uh-huh.
Something inside.
Something hidden.
You don't see, but it's behavior.
There's something hidden. Rav Kalman is saying is that all of these things, from the outside it looks beautiful. It's only on the inside, it's just a show. It's just a show, right? It's just a show. That's what they said, that if we were living, some would come partially, that we read in the Neviim, they talk about all the averos that were taking place during the time of the Chum Bayis Sheni. They talk about murder, about the Zogi, the Rav Shech Zdam, all these terrible things. So they tell us, if we were living then, you would never notice it. If we would be transplanted in a time machine, taken back to the time right before the Chum Bayis Sheni, you go into society, you'd open up the newspaper, you would see there's so many chesed organizations, gemachs, and all these incredible, incredible things that are going on. Klal Yisrael is so beautiful, but Hashem, from the inside, yeah, it's all a show. It's all a show. What's really going on behind the scenes is not so pleasant. I don't want to say lashda, but I had some experience like this of dealing with some things that on the papers look wow. And then when you go inside and you know what's going on behind the scenes, there's competition and there is jealousy and there's a lot of not nice things that go on behind the scenes, even on the outside. Everything is so beautiful, there's so much kindness. I'm not taking away, you know, that's the way the world is. It's always like that, right? It's always like that. But sometimes you can get to a point, it's very dangerous, it's a slippery slope. That's the way the world is. It always has to be a little mitach shaloy lishma, ba lishma. That's the way Hashem made the world. There always has to be a little covet, a little money, a little, you know, a little jealousy, competition, yeah?
How do you say hypocrisy?
Hypocrisy. Lashon Kodesh. You're a tzoveya. A tzoveya. Savua. You color yourself on the outside.
Like novel would be very good because you're doing mibachot, so you show one way and you're really a different way.
Exactly. So that's what Rav Kalman is saying. Novel b'rishus ha-Torah. Well, that's a little bit different. There, Yitaka used the Torah as a way. Openly, I think novel
versus
like a chazir. A chazir puts out his paws. Look, yeah. I have split hooves. I have mafreses parsa. But the chazir is not malaskera. So Rav Kalman is saying all of the examples here reflect the people. The animals that the people are bringing are just a reflection of the society. From the outside, it looks like a beautiful animal. But little do you know, how would you know that it's stolen? How would a person know the money is stolen? You've covered your tracks. How would you know that the animal is lame only when it starts walking? How would you know that it's sick? How would you know these things? You can't know these things. You think you're going to fool like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're a noichel. So the Pasuk next, Pasuk Gidal, it says all of the examples, you're phonies, you're deceivers, you're make-believers, and therefore you're going to be cursed. Now, but let's look over here how he understands the Pasuk according to the Reuven Mibozhan. See, now that he's the word Moshchas means that it's beautiful, how does he understand this Pasuk? Where Nochel Marim Shemada Kilu L'Chvoidi Osa Ve'ino Oysa El L'Chanosai Sheyesh B'Yedra Zohar Haroi Lo'ilo Shenoyder V'Achkach Zoveach Moshchas. Then he brings, so he's saying something different. He brings a Moshchas, Sodis. He translates the word Moshchas means an animal that is, I don't know what the English word is. Its reproductive organs have been severed, have been removed, asodis, castrated. Lufi shuhu mifutam v'shamein v'rach l'machol adam. So you say that was the mitzias. that it goes hand in hand. I once read this, is that the animals, they would castrate the animals. By castrating the animals, that would cause them, it would cause them to develop, yes, that it would cause them, their blood pressure.
Calms them down.
Calm them down.
Easier to handle.
They have low blood pressure.
They don't run around after the cow. They just sit and eat.
Exactly. They sit and eat. They're not all worked up. When you're all worked up, then you become hard. Your flesh, your veins become very stiff. Low blood pressure, your body is, your muscles are much looser. Much looser in blood pressure. You lower your blood pressure, your whole body is looser, not stiff. So you're saying that some mitzvahs by animals, they would do these things to the animals in order that the flesh over a long period of time would be more tender. And why do they want to give something more tender? Because they want to eat a good dinner. They want to eat, since the Kohanim are the ones, and the Ba'olim, the Mir Karban Shalom, who eats the animal? The owner of the animal eats the basar. So the owner wants to have a good, delicious dinner. So he would specifically offer an animal that's a soris, that's been castrated, because those animals typically have better, their meat tastes better. And that's a disgrace, because the Torah explicitly says that that's called the balmum. So they would do these horrible averos. So the ze akriv, I'm going to bring this, shahazochar in choshev kamohu. And the reason why, so he's saying a little bit more, the reason over here, he's saying, I'm saying it's because it's more tender. He's saying a different reason, Meir, is the reason why, because the person, he wants to keep for himself the animal that's healthy in order to reproduce. If I have in my flock an animal that cannot have children, so that should be the one I should get rid of as a carbon. Anyway, I have to bring a carbon. So I might as well get a dead end, that animal. I might as well get rid of that animal. I'll keep from the animal that's a zoch, that's a healthy animal. So he's a liar. This person, his real kavan is, I want to eliminate, I have a debt to pay. I have to bring a carbon. So no, let me pay my debt with things that anyway are of no value to me and preserve myself the best. Then he goes on to say, moshchas mefutom, it's fat. Kein mishchas meish mer'e bari v'toiv l'moshcho, ki moshchas sambachem mumbam. All right, so he's saying something a little bit off the beaten track. But let's go back to our idea. Our similar idea is over here. When it's over here, the word moshchas, this simply means that it is disgusting. It is defective. That's the simple interpretation. And I'm just trying to point out to you is that although we find elsewhere in Tanakh that this word in a different form means, it means something that is beautiful. Like for example, mishras. Kishemen mishras. What does that mean? Oil of anointment. It's the same exact word. Mishras, but the vowels are different. There's another word, or maybe this, zos mishras aharon. Or this is the word. This is the word. I think this is the pasuk I'm referring to. It's in Leviticus 7:35. Zos mishchas aharon u mishchas banav meishe Hashem, from the fire offerings of Hashem, biyoim hikriv oisam lichahin laHashem. So in this pasuk, it says the word mishchas. Let me see if I can find over here a commentator that says what this word means. This is the mishchas. Okay, commentary. Let's see what we got over here. 17, ze schar mishchas. Okay, let me see what I'm looking for. Zos, oh, here it is. The Hamek Davar. Zos mishchas gidulas, the greatness. Okay, the word, the Hamek Davar translates word mishchas means this is the greatness of Aaron. And okay, let's see if I can find something very specific. Gidulas. Okay, the word, that's a very good word. That's really a good word. Mishchas, gidulas. From this pasuk, zos mishchas, we learn, oh, here's a good, the Ralbag. Ratzel loymar, zos hoya hagidula, sheniskadlu b'mishichosam, that they were exalted in their anointment of being Kohanim. They all translate the word greatness. In the Gemara, there's a Gemara that somewhere says that because of this pasuk, when the Kohanim eat the Ishei Hashem, they have to eat it. They have to eat it with ingredients. They have to have a gourmet chef. They had in the Beis Hamikdash gourmet chefs that came and prepared the kadoshim for achila by the Kohanim. It should be eaten as a 5-star meal. They didn't just, okay, you shech the carbon, here's the meat, okay, let's just eat it raw, or if we can't eat it raw, we'll put it in the oven for 5 minutes and just eat it the way it is. No, they brought in the best chef in the best chefs in the world, and they prepared for the Kohanim the meat of the Kodesh Kodashim, so that it should be eaten in a state of greatness. Mishchas means gidula, greatness. So the question is, how could the same letters, Mem, Shin, Ches, Sof, in that Pasuk, in Vayikra, Perek Zayin, Pasuk Hafei, mean greatness, from which we learn that they imported the best chefs in the world to prepare the Besar Kodashim, and here when it says the word Vezavech Moshchos, and according to the simple interpretation, it means these animals are disgusting, they're defective, they're ugly, they're distasteful. How could the same letters span a spectrum of 180 degrees? And that's exactly the point. The different vowels. Here it says mosh chos. In Vayikra it says mish chas. Two differences. Instead of a komas under the mem, there's a chirik, a dat. And instead of a komas under the ches, there's a patach, mish chas. And when you change vowels, I'm not sure if there's a rule in how you change the vowels to do this. We once spent time on this and trying to analyze the vowels, and we didn't find any pattern that would show a technique where you change specific vowels to go mikotze lekotze. But one thing is certain beyond a question of a doubt, and we have already a very long list. I don't know if I ever wrote them down. I wrote down some of these words, a very, very long list of words that go same exact letters where you go mikotze el hakotze. The classic is yishrosh yisharesh. I gave you a more extreme example of tzion tzoyun. Here we have another example of moshchos and mishchas. What's another classic example? Kodesh. A kodesh and a kidesha. What's the other word? Other word is kodesh. Now that's a little tricky. You know why that's tricky? Because if you ask the average person who doesn't like this idea that we just spent 10 minutes discussing, and you'll tell them, why is a woman, a harlot, called a kidesha? So you know what they're going to tell you? How could you call her a kidesha? That's the worst avera in the world. And that those letters mean kodesh, holy. So what are they going to tell you? They're going to tell you, whoever said the word kodesh is holy. You're making a terrible mistake. This is what they're going to tell you. Kodesh does not mean holy. Kodesh means designated. It's all it means. It's all it means. There's no holiness in the word kodesh. It means designated. In fact, when Taisa says, what? Separated. In fact, the worst mistake art school ever made in their siddur, and they still did not correct it, and it's my fault because I never caught them, is everyone here got married. Harei at nikudesh esli. B'tabas zo kidas Moshe v'Yisrael. When you said those words on the chuppah, what were you thinking? What were you thinking when you got married? Harei at mikudeshes. Who says you were thinking? What were you thinking when you said those words? Mark, we have to contact art school. There's a horrible, horrible mistake. So Toysist and Davdal in the Masechet Kedushin says, what the man says to him, you are holy? That's a Christian idea. That's a horrible idea. That's Christian theology to say that a woman is holy. Hare at mikudeshes means you are designated. It's not a holy word. Miyuchedes. Tosfos says explicitly in Masechta, in Kedushin Daf Dalet. I think it's Daf Dalet. Maybe it's Daf Gimel. I forgot already. Miyuein mikudeshes ella miyuchedes. Designated. You're designated to me. So when we say that in the Beis Hamikdash is Kodesh, all it means it's set aside. It's separate. all of means it's separate. There's no holiness is a very mystical idea. All kodesh means it's set aside for Hashem.
What word means holy?
What?
What word means holy?
There is no word holy. There's no such thing. There is no such thing.
Tahar is not
holy. Tahar is pure.
Right, it's not holy.
So holy is a word that we have invented. Something that is set aside for Hashem is set aside. We call it to be holy. Right. It's just a way to capture, because something can be set aside for Avodah Zarah. Something can be set aside for a terrible Avera. The way to express that this has been set aside for the good side, for the good, not for the bad, for Hashem, so we invented a word called Kodesh. But Kodesh, all it really means is set aside. Therefore, if you say to a person, how can you call a harlot a Kadesha? How could you use the same word as Kodesh? How could you do that? So the answer they will tell you is, whoever said the word Kodesh means holy. Kodesh means set aside. It's set aside for Hashem, and there are things that are set aside for the purpose of sin.
For her profession.
What?
For her profession.
For her profession. A man, a Kodesh, a man that has been designated for Avera, he's called a Kodesh. A woman that's set aside for sin is called a Kadesha. An animal that's set aside for Hashem is Kodesh. But it doesn't mean, it doesn't have any, there's no such word in the Hebrew language which captures what we call in our mind holy. So there's no such word. What?
Say Kadesha to you.
It means you should be apart. You should be set aside. You should be prushim. Rashi there says, set aside. It doesn't, there is no, according to this interpretation, but don't leave now. Don't leave now. According to this interpretation, and this is very common, Rashi really says this, many mafarshes, there is no, it's a shocking thing to say. Most people don't want to hear this, that there's no word in the entire Tanakh that is equivalent to the English word holy. There's no word. Look, there's no word for God.
Oshkol uses the word.
I'm going to come back to Oshkol in a second. But there is no, according to this interpretation, look, there's no word in the whole Tanakh for Hashem. We'll discuss this. There are basically seven basic names of Hashem. Six of the seven are used throughout Tanakh for matters of that are mundane. Elo advar Elohim Yavashnem, Yesh Eliyadi, the Tzvois Hashemayim. All of the words in six of the seven names of Hashem are also used in Tanakh in reference to things that are mundane. The only word that is completely sacred is Yudke Vavke. And even Yudke Vavke is not even Hashem's name. What is Yudke Vavke? It's Aramaic. It's not even Hebrew. It's a combination of three Aramaic words: Hoya, Hove, V'yeh. Time. A concept of time. It's not even a word. It's not even a word that is, yeah.
So when we say Ata Kodesh, Yishimcha Kodesh,
you are apart. There's nothing like you. We can't connect to you because you Hashem are different. You're above and beyond our comprehension.
So what's the difference between Ata Kodesh and Ata Echad?
Echad means there's only one God. You could have many gods theoretically there can be many gods that are set aside, that are removed from the limitations
so
of man.
What you're saying is Ata Miyuchad and Hashem Kodesh is the same
thing. No, it doesn't mean Miyuchad. It means Miyuchad Kodesh. It depends on the context.
Yeah.
Kodesh means you are. When you say Haret Mikudeshes, you're designated. I can have many women who can be designated for me. Doesn't mean you're one. Doesn't mean you're the only one. Polygamy. Yaakov married four wives. They were all. He said to all four, Harayat Mikudeshes. How could they? But what do you mean? You doesn't mean that you're one. It means you are designated for me, and you are for me and no one else. But it doesn't mean you're the only one. You have competitors. This competition. So when you say Kadosh Baruch Hu is Kadosh, you are apart. You're not subject to the limitations of man. Then you also say, but there's no competition. You're Echad. Hashem is Echad. But according to this idea, don't leave now, and this is really, really, many people will tell you it starts and stops right here. You can't leave. The word Kadosh means Parush. Unique, separated, apart. Hareat Mikudesh Asli means you are, Tosfos there says, you are designated to me. That's where it starts and stops. And there is no word in the Hebrew language that means as the equivalent of holy. Holy, in our language, now mine means it radiates with a supernatural kedusha. Isn't that in our mind what it means? Yeah?
I explained it completely different.
Okay.
We always know. We say in the Shirat Hanan, Mikedash Hashem Amnu Yedecha.
Yeah.
Mikedash.
Yes.
Hashem. So Hashem is Kadosh. The way we always say, not only Miuchad, Kadosh.
Okay.
Now Hashem, from his Kedusha, he gives Kedusha to others, to people, to Beit Hashem, Beit HaMikdash, and Kohanim, Shem Kedoshim, or whatever. So Hashem can relinquish or give away some of his Kedusha.
Yeah, but what does that mean exactly? It means that Hashem...
But that
can also mean that Hashem is apart. And Hashem allows the Jewish people also to be separate.
That takes away from his holiness.
Separate. Doesn't take away Ner Alecha, Ner Lameya. Doesn't take away Hashem's holiness. Okay, but I hear you. Okay, well, we'll come to this.
Holy.
Oh, so you're saying a different idea. You're saying...
And he gives away...
Okay, you're saying a different idea, but even all this Pesukim could mean the same way Hashem is apart, he also gives that meter to the Jewish people. We are different. We're not like the Umayyad, we're separate. We have a different way of life, a different Ashkaf. We're different. We're apart. Now that's this idea that I'm telling you now is a very hard idea to swallow. Because the average person, when you say the word Kadosh, this way I think, it means you have an object. Let's say this object has been sanctified to the Beis HaMikdash, a bar of gold or an animal. In my mind, this thing is radioactive. It's radioactive. It's sacred. It's sacred. There is, it glows with holiness. There's a radioactivity of sanctity on this object. A Sefer Torah. You know, you have to you have to worry. You know, you can be harmed if the Sefer Torah, you don't behave yourself in the presence of the Sefer Torah. Rahman Litzlan, a person can be injured. There's a certain radioactivity that hovers around a sacred object. Is that what it means? So that's how we know. If that's correct, and maybe it is correct,
but
then...
It's dangerous a little bit to say that, because if you say...
Okay. By
Meyuchedet, yeah. So I can do whatever I want with my wife. I can. Also,
by marriage, it cannot mean she's holy. So. It cannot mean by marriage.
It
means designated. But Tosfos says explicitly, "Ein mik." The Gemara, "Ein mikudeshes ella meyuchedes." But the average person, when you hear the word Kadosh, you think about radioactivity of sacredness. Now that, it could be correct. But then we go back to our original question. What was our original question? How can you take a word Kodesh, which means sacred, it's mystical, esoteric, it's radioactive with sanctity, and use the exact same word for a Zoyna, a Kadesha, and a Kodesh? So the answer is, this you saw it. When you take a word and you manipulate its vowels, you go mikotzeh el hakotzeh. An object in the Beis HaMikdash radiates with sanctity. A zona, it radiates with pollution, tumah. Tumah, you can touch and slice the tumah. Kodosh, Hashem, atah kodosh, v'shimcha kodosh. If you go, any bird that flew over Yonasan ben Uziel was burnt. So doesn't that mean that Yonasan ben Uziel was sacred and sanctity radiated from him? A bird that flew over his head, it burnt. Talk about Acher. What happened to Acher? When Acher was born, his father was Naam Aretz, and he made a bris milah. He invited all of the rabban. They sat down to learn. There was a fire burning. And what do you do? You're burning down my house. We're not burning down your house. We're learning Torah. It's the Or HaTorah. You find the Chazal over and over. Torah is sacred. It radiates with holiness. How could a Zoyna be called a Kedesha? Hey, she's not called Kedesha. Kedesha. Take the word...
change the vowels. When you change vowels, you go mikotzeh el hakotzeh. So, when you have the word kadosh, we have a question. We have the word kadosh. We have a very fundamental question. How could there be something called the Kadesha? How could it possibly be? The Kodesh HaKadoshim, you're going to take that word Kodesh HaKadoshim and you're going to use that for a Kadesha? There's nothing more despicable in this world than a Kadesha and a Kodesh. There's nothing more ugly, more horrible. Louis Tanach, Ki Hishchas Kol Boser Dark Al Eretz, the most disgusting thing. This kind. How could you go from a Kadesha, from a Kodesh HaKadoshim to a Kadesha? So the two answers. The more typical answer is, whoever told you this, the word, the Kodesh HaKadosh, it means that it radiates. It means it is miyuchad, it is designated, off limits. Off limits. It's a military zone. It's a military zone. You don't go in there. It's separate. A Kadesh is a woman designated for Avera. But if you want to say that Kodesh HaKadosh means like what they taught us in elementary school in the first grade, that if you go into the Kodesh HaKadosh, you get burnt. It's radioactive. You get burnt to a crisp. The holiness is too much. Oh, itaka means holy, like the way we like it. What does it mean by? What does it mean by a zoina? It means tumma. It's disgusting. You can feel the tumma. You go mikotze el hakotze. Now, the thing that bothers me very much, it's my fault. I never, I'm too lazy to contact article. You open up any article, English Siddur, and you go to after Shachris, and you come to davening, to marriage, and it says there, Hare at mikudeshes li betabazo kidas Moshe v'Yisrael. I cannot believe that for 30 years they did not correct this. Hare at, I don't know how they translate those words, you are consecrated to me. How could they write that? There's no way that is a horrible mistake. Hare at mikudesh. Listen, I live and breathe art school. I am an art school product. I love art school. Don't get me wrong here. I went to Meir Zlatowitz Kever to Misfalo. I am art school. But this mistake is unexcusable. Hare at mikudesh li. You are consecrated? Are you? You can't. How did I get through all the 30 years? Harayat, you are designated to me, not consecrated to me.
Is the second parish of the word kuf dalachin holy, consecrated?
But not in the yes, but not in the context of marriage. Because Tosfos says explicitly, the Gemara says explicitly, Kodosh also means designated. It means designated, separated. And in the context of marriage, it's very nice drush. By Sheva Brachas Torah, when you go to Sheva Brachas and you say, if it means miyuchedes, so why didn't Chazal use that word? If it means miyuchedes, so when a man marries a woman, he should say to her, Hare at miyuchedes li. And in fact, it's probably good kedushin. Why then? So by Sheva Brachas, you'll make a beautiful drasha, and you'll say the reason why they selected a word which also means consecrated is because marriage has sanctity. Marriage has sanctity. That's beautiful and it's MS, and that's probably why they chose that word, but that's not the translation. That's drush. You have to know the what?
To make it strong.
But that's not the ikkar. You can't translate the word like that. That translation is a horrible, in my opinion, is the wrong translation. It's correct. The idea is correct. And that captures the flavor of marriage. Marriage is sacred. But when the man says to a woman under the chuppah, in Hebrew you say mikudesh, it means everything together. If he would say to her in English, you are consecrated to me, I don't know if it's good marriage. You do not have to say Haret Mukudeshis in Hebrew. You can say it in any language you want. There's no halacha that when a man gives
maybe they did it on purpose so people don't make a mistake and a boy takes a cigarette and looks at the girl and says, you are designated, whatever.
Can't be. If a man under the chuppah would say to a woman, you are consecrated to me, I don't believe they're married.
Right, so that's
they're
why
not
they're
married.
That way on purpose.
Why on a purpose?
The ridiculous.
In Hebrew, the word mikudeshes means many things. It means many things. In Tosfos says, it's like, ein mikudeshes elo miyuchedes. So say miyuchedes. So say it. Because we also want to express the idea that marriage is a sacred institution. But it doesn't take away from the fact that the word mikudeshes means designated. But in English, if you're going to say to a woman under the chuppah, you are consecrated, oy gewalt. They're not married. They're not married. You don't consecrate a woman. There's no such thing. You have no control over your wife. You can't even tell her what to make you for supper. You're going to tell me that you're going to consecrate her? You're going to make her holy? It's ridiculous. It means you're designated to me. And this marriage we're entering into is going to be a marriage, a sacred institution of marriage. So this has to be corrected. It can't be. It just cannot be. And I showed this to people, and they said, I can't believe it. I can't believe it. You're right. You're right. You're right. How could this go? This is what, 30 years, the article said. It's my fault. I should have just sent them an email and see what they respond to me. There's no way that this could be correct. Impossible. Right, so I'm telling you, 30 years. Look, go over to any article, English article, sitter. That's what it says. I checked, even in the new, they put out a new.
The word is sacred. Sacred is not holy.
Consecrated. Consecrated means holy. I'm sorry.
I don't think so.
Consecrated, that means miyuchedes. The word consecrated means holy. That's what it means.
What did it say in the Birnbaum sitter?
I don't know. They translate this in the Birnbaum sitter? I don't know. Okay, Mark, I'm giving you homework. Mark, you're in contact with Gedalia? You're in contact with Gedalia? So you show this to him. You tell him this. And I get a free sitter for this. And tell him how much I respect Art School and how much I love Art School. And I have a whole Art School library and I go to their website every day to see what's new. The new books that come out. I have no problem with them. I'm their biggest fan. But this is a problem which has to be
There's
addressed.
There's also another problem. At the end of Hallel, it says the Avram Zaken.
Outside, right outside the door. If you go outside the door, there's an art scroll right outside the door. Yeah?
It says at the end of Hallel, Segula, to say Avram Zaken.
Yeah.
But before that, there's another sentence, Zavad Yishmerei V'Hem Kol Choy, which they don't put in.
Who says to say that? Is that traditional? That's a Svarish thing. Even
go
the same,
together,
they go together.
Yeah.
All right, I don't know. I hear what you say. Listen, art school. They did a lot of chidushim.
I have the objection to them. Bimnos yomenu kain oida.
Yeah.
They translate kain so.
Kain is a more.
Yois.
Okay, so that's a more powerful word.
Not to count your days so. Oida. Can't teach us to count our days properly.
Right,
Cain,
okay.
There's so the same thing is in the...
Send them an email.
In the Tehillim, in the Siddur, in the Shabbos Siddur, they all tell the...
Send them an email.
So,
what?
Keep thinking I'm going to send it
to
one day.
Yeah, send me off. The one thing that they praise us, I want to read,
I'm also a fan of him, let's go, but,
you can't be perfect. You know, it's an impossible thing. There are so many things. One thing about our art school that I read it's very, very true, is... They very much work to make corrections. Other publishers, they publish something, you send them corrections, they couldn't kill us. Once it's in the market, they have no interest. Art School, I think they have a whole department, a whole staff working full time corrections.
If I may.
They're macabre your comments. And if you're right, they will correct it. In their next edition, they are very. I read this in one blog that's a very critical blog about everything. This world in the world, everything is no good. You only look to say bad in this world, unfortunately. And in this blog, this safe, that safe, they criticize this, and then the guy there writes one thing I can say about art school, even though I'm not here. That guy is talking not a fan of art school, and there are many critics of art school. They listen to you when you send them a comment. They listen to the comment. And they take it very seriously, and they make correct. I even read the kinos. I remember in the kinos, there was something I read about this. There was something that they wrote in the kinos, and the person explained to them that you totally missed the boat. And in the next edition, they corrected it. And he was blown away. like, wow, you really listened, and you took seriously what I said, and you went to the effort that in the next edition he totally changed the translation of what it means. Right? That's a very beautiful thing in publishing, because most publishers, they don't have the resources, they don't have the money, they don't have the time, they don't care about it, but they do. So I have nothing bad to say about Art School, mamish, nothing bad to say. And look, Arapav, he criticized Art School for their nekudos. I told you this, their nekudos, they used to have square nekudos. Instead of having a round dot, they had square dots. You have an old Art School sitter. So they designed a new font for their sitter. And part of the design, modern design, is that the nekudos, instead of being a circle, it was a square. Most people wouldn't even notice this, because you need a magnifying glass, unless it's a very, very big process. Most people couldn't even notice this. So Rapam told them, someone wasn't Rapam, someone went to Rapam and complained about Art School, look what they did. They changed the nekudos from circles to squares. Instead of, everything is now a square. That's not the Mesorah. The Mesorah is a nekuda. A nekuda is round. And it's Alpi Kabbalah. He told them this whole shmuz. And Rapam said, you know, you're right. You're right. And when Rapam, he met with Meir Zlatowicz, he told him that this guy is taka right. The Mesorah is circles, not squares. And Meir Zlatowicz said, okay, if the Rashiva says that we're wrong, whatever you say. I can't go throw out the whole factory. We got Mikanu Lahaba, everything that we print, we're going to change the nekudos from squares to circles.
What
the open up a sitter, the beginning of the sitter. You look at the sitter. A chirik. What's a chirik?
A dot.
A dot. In the original Art School for many years.
Oh,
it was a square. Because the square dot matched the theme of the font. They designed their own font. They have a copyright on their font. And their font has a square look. So the graphic designer felt that having square nekudos would enhance the clarity of the letter. So that's how it was. No one thought, no one gave it a thought. No one thought. No one thought that they designed the custom fonts. There's a tremendous amount of chachman that goes into fonts. You don't realize the space and how much it affects your mind. Incredible chachma, psychology involved in designing a font and in spacing of the font, how everything flows. And the graphic design, they probably paid him a fortune of money to design a new font that would be appealing to the eye. This goes back 30 years ago. He came up with this font and it was laser sharp and it was very appealing to the eyes. They probably did a lot of test studies.
Anyway, that's a very big change. I mean, it changed almost come on. Every single word, every single
letter. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And Rapam told Rav Meir Zlatowicz, this guy is right. And Rav Zlatowicz says, I accept. If the Rashiva says, that's what has to be, that's it. I can't go take my whole warehouse, but Mikanu Lahaba, and that's why in this edition you see the Nekudos around.
If I may backtrack a little bit, interesting though, it was mentioned, even though, you know, Tosfos explains that Kudeshes means Miyuchedes, but nevertheless, it's expressed by Chazal, it doesn't say Harayat Miyuchedes.
I said that.
I said that you said it. It says Harayat Kudeshes. So the Art Scroll, it may be more, you know, I can understand a little bit that they say consecrated. Just like in Hebrew they say Mukudeshes and Miyuchedes, when there they say consecrated, they also mean Miyuchedes. And it's more politically correct. It's nice for people to hear that you're consecrated to me. It's more politically correct. It's nice.
You know, I know, but it's not true.
More politically correct. No, but it's just as true as the Hebrew.
Sanctity in marriage. There is no question about it. Kalman said the same thing. There is sanctity in marriage. There's no question about
that. I can accept that thing. Other things I can't accept as much. The Teich Kain is so.
But let me use a halachic question. If a man would say to a woman under the chuppah in English, you are consecrated to me.
Well, it's because if he would say you said this to me, I don't think it would be.
It is.
It would be good.
I think it is good. I think halacha l'maaseh is good.
This is not
a bracha. That's only by a blessing.
That has to be proven. That could be debatable. You know, whether a person says.
Okay, we need a panel of rabbanim.
If a person gets up into the hoop and says, "Hey, Ray, I'm going to play this thing,"
I believe they're fully married.
I think that could be debatable.
I don't think so. Okay,
we have to get extra rabbanim. That's not the law she's supposed to use. Even though the Gemara says, even if you admit Kedas Moshe of Israel, Tosfos mentions that it's still Kedas Moshe of Israel. You still have to follow all the rules.
But the Gemara never presents the Nusach of marriage. Nowhere in Shas is there this to Minhag Yisrael to say those words. But it's not in the Gemara. It's a modern convention. What?
You'll kick him in you give him a kick. Haray Abim said this. You ever see anybody try that?
No way. And the minhag used to be that, in fact, they do not let the chosn actually say the words. Instead, you repeat word for word. It used to be the minhag, is the mesadek, it used to be this haray. Today, they just mumble the words, right? It's not so good. There used to be many, no matter, even the biggest Talmud Chacham, the Messiah, they used to just repeat after me. Hare,
right.
Hare, at, at. The only word they would say, li. They don't say li. So they would say, there's a joke by Hasidim in Williamsburg, what's the avenues that flank Lee Avenue? Whatever the avenues are, there are two avenues. Anyone here know the avenues?
Bedford and
they would
Lobling?
Say, a what?
Lobling?
No.
Division.
They would say to the chassan, zog the avenue between Bedford and the other one.
Division.
Lee. Lee. That's what they would say to the chassan.
By the way, it's the
yeah.
There are all kind of words that you can say, and shim migoreshet. Even though you don't say "ani migaresh otach," you have to like it, you know, all kind of.
They don't say anything. There you don't say anything. You do shtar.
And is migureshet.
Right, but there you don't say anything. There it's a paper.
If he is going to say you had it, and he has in mind that marriage, it's marriage.
There must be a kesef kiddushin.
If the kiddushin will be, why not this? Why not this?
Why not what?
Why can't he? Can he say, if he has consecrated
it
and he had in mind, it means she's
but that's not what, it's a nekach tos, you change
it.
No, you're giving the kesef kedushin, and you're telling them this kesef kedushin is going to make you sacred. That's not what you do when you get married.
So why the gerushin?
Gerushin, you don't say anything. Gerushin, you don't say anything. Gerushin is only done with shtar. Gerushin is not done with kesef.
But he has to say something.
No.
No.
He doesn't say anything. Gerushin is done with shtar. Kedushin is.
If he says one of those words, it's migoreshet.
No, he has to. The whole gerushin is on the paper, is on the cloth. Gerushin is only shtar.
Yeah.
Only shtar. There's no dibur. There's no dibur by gerushin. It's. And they in the nusach of Gerushin, it says three words. It says the three targumim. It says get peturin. When it's, I forgot, in the Torah it says v'chosav la sefer krisus. That's what it says in the Torah. The word sefer v'nosan diyada. He writes a sefer krisus. There are three targumim. Targum onkelis, targum yonasan ben uzil. And Targum Yerushalmi. Each one of the Targumim translates those words differently. Sefer v'chosav lo, he writes Sefer Kirisus. I don't remember what they said. They all have different translations. A Get Piturin, that's one translation, and then there are other three Targumim. In the Nusach of a Get, it says all three translations, to make no mistake. All three translations of the words Sefer Krisos, the translation of Targum Ungulus, the translation of Yonasan ben Uziel, and the translation of the Targum Yerushalmi. All three translations are put right there. This is your get piturin, and you're this, and you're that, to make it clear l'chol ha'deis what this document is. There's no words. There's no transfer of money. By marriage, there are three ways to get married: with kesef, shtar, and bia. If a man would get what? No amir. The amir.
So the same is
nothing. No, when it comes to kesef, if you go and give a woman money, you go to a store, and you're working in the store, and a woman gives you $5, give her change, and you give her $3.23 in change. You married to her? You married to her? If a woman goes, she buys a nice Jewish boy behind the counter, and she gives him a couple of dollars. Well, they're married? Of course they're not married. There has to be a dibur that accompanies the kesef. The dibur is what activates the kesef. So what is the dibur? The dibur has to be that you are designated to me to the exclusion of all other men. Once you're married to me, you're not allowed to be with anyone else. That has to be made clear. I'm giving you what affects the marriage is the kesef. But I'm not giving you a gift. I'm not buying property. I'm not doing anything other than giving you the money to effect marriage. So the dibur that accompanies the kesef must be crystal clear. To say, I'm giving you with this money, I'm making you a holy woman. Oh, thank you very much. In my Beis Yaakov, they already did that for me. They already made me into a holy woman. What does it mean you're consecrated to me? It's a very, very challenging expression. There's something not right about this. You'll tell me, I got all the drush. I'll be the first one to tell you that marriage is sacred, and by Sheva Brachos you make a speech, the sanctity of marriage. Why did Chazal select such an unusual word and not? It's emes nochon yosher hadover hazeh. There's no doubt about it. But halachically, is this the correct English translation to effect marriage? There's something not right over here. Okay, there's something that's problematic. Okay, but this all goes back. We got involved in this very long discussion, which I do not regret for one moment, because of the word moshchos. The word moshchos here, we found this fascinating. Thanks to Ramachol. He holds this fascinating Rabbi Elazar Mibozhin. See how he translates it the way that it says in Vayikra. There it says mishchas. And in Vayikra it says, regarding the Kohanim and their service, it's used the word mishchas. And there it is translated as ligidula, which means greatness, and the Kohanim have to eat the karbonos in a state of greatness, sitting down like a mensch with a gourmet, a chef that is professionally trained to produce gourmet meals. How could the word there mean, the same letters mean greatness, and here it mean utter disgust? That's not a problem. We find this often. You take the same letters, you manipulate its vowels, you go 180 degrees. Just like our interpretation of Kodesh. In addition to the symbol on this thing, the Kodesh means designation. Most of us are much more comfortable translating the word Kodesh as holy. Right? I think everyone has a much more, holy. Everyone likes the word much more holy. But you got a big problem when you do that. Because if it means holy, what's a kadesha? What's a kadesh? So then, no problem. It doesn't say a kadesh is a kadesha. It's a kadesha. The vowels, the dots, make all the difference. Makes all the difference. I'll give you another verse that we spoke about this in Eicha. What do we say? Eicha. What's Eicha? Eicha yosho bodot. Oy. The word Eicha, what does it really capture? It captures surrender. Surrender, I give up. Give up, go dig a grave, jump in. I give up. Eicha yosho bodot. If you vowelize the letters Eicha as Eiko, have you given up? You haven't given up. You're a fighter. You're a fighter. You make a Ribbonish, how dare you? How dare you make us suffer like this? Eikoi? Where is Koi Yezaracha? Koy sevaruch hu esbnei Yisrael. Koy amar Hashem b'chatzay salayla ni yotzei b'sech Mitzrayim. When you change the vowels of Eicha to Eiko, you become a fighter. If you change the vowels of Eicha to A-Ye-Ko, you know what that means? Not only have we not given up, Hashem hasn't given up. Hashem is saying, hey, Ayeko, where are you? You people, you got lost. Hashem is looking for us. So if you start out with Eicha, oh, Eicha, Eicha Yashabot, oh, yoy, life is over. It's over. It's surrender. Change the little dot, a few little dots. Same letters. Eikoi, you become a fighter. You become a toveya. I'm entitled. I have rights. Hashem, you made promises. You have to be good to your promise, to be true to your word. And if you change the dots a little bit more, Ayeka, Hashem is also looking for us. So just because you have letters, so what? Letters are subject to
the dots.
Did Hashem intentionally do that so we can have different interpretations?
Absolutely. Now I get to this idea we spoke about last week.
No other languages are like that. You know, sometimes you have a word in English that has different meanings, but it's not pronounced that.
Okay, so I don't know about all English. So in English, you certainly do not have this. At least I mean
not. I have an example. We do have it.
Yeah.
If somebody says
Hayim,
I just hope the rain keeps up. So there are two meanings to that. One meaning is the rain should continue. The other one, if it keeps up, it doesn't come down.
All right. Look, in English to Irish, we don't do it too often.
You're changing the meaning.
In H. That's pronunciation. In H, Chaim. How do you spell Chaim? So today became a yeshivish world. Even among, you know, the secular press, they already gave up. They don't put dots anymore. So they'll write Chaim, C-H. But years ago, that's not the professional way. The way you write Chaim is with an H and a dot. An H with a dot in English is Cho. Chaim. Chaim. Today, no one does it anymore. Even you know, in the Harvard press, I wouldn't be surprised that they don't do it anymore because no one does it anymore. So why make believe when there's no one to make believe to? Okay, but it used to be very common. My father used to always write. My father, he used to write many years ago. All of his writings, he used to use the dots with an H. And I remember my father changed in his later years. And I asked him, why did you change? You used to have all of your old stuff. It has all these funny words with all these funny dots. I don't know what in the world this means. I figured out how to prep. So he says, because no one's interested anymore. We live in a new world today. And even among the Goyim, they're not interested. They're not interested in looking at an H with a dot. They don't even know what it is. And only dealing with a fraction of intellectuals who still care about these things. And most people, they're not interested. So I gave up and I write CH. That's what my father told me a while ago. But anyway, but this was the one last thing is, this is Mr. Mill, this thing, this is a concept. We have a principle the Torah says that you're not allowed to put in writing. You're not allowed to put in writing Torah Shebal Peh. Al Pi HaDevarim, it is categorically forbidden to take Torah Shebal Peh and to put it on a page in writing. So what's the obvious question? How then are we allowed to have Mishnayis, the Talmud, Medrash Halacha, Medrash Agada, the Rishonim Achronim? Look at this bookcase over here. Every single part of the bookcase is an outright blatant violation of Torah law.
Absolutely.
Outright violation.
However,
Eif Lasos Lashem Heferu Torasecha. Now we have a rule. When Chazal uproot a Halacha because of Eif Lasos, they cannot uproot it entirely. They must at least leave over a token fulfillment of the halacha. So I ask you, where in halacha can you show me an example where you're not allowed to put in writing Torah Shebal Peh? Where? And the answer is in a Sefer Torah, Nekudos. If you put in a Sefer Torah one dot, I can't remember, do you read it Moshchas or Mishchas? So just let me put a little dot, one little dot, a little dot, in a Sefer Torah.
Right.
The Sefer Torah is puzzle. Shulchan Aruch, it's possible.
They had that problem with security.
One dot, you put one dot in a Sefer Torah to indicate how you should read it. The Sefer Torah, one, a teeny little dot, teeny, to indicate this is how you read the word.
So
this is how you read the word.
For security, put pinholes?
They put pinholes. That's on the bottom, that's in the cloth, and that's not for reading purposes. Right. Those are pinholes, that's not a problem. That's not. So in order to read, why? Because a dot is Torah Shebal Peh. A dot is Torah. The Torah Shebal Peh tells us that in this pasuk, you read it, Vayidaber, not Vayidabor. The Torah Shebal Peh tells you Vayidaber, not Vayidabor. So therefore, you're not allowed to put in writing Torah Shebal Peh. Where do you have an application? Not in this room. In this room, all the books over here is a violation. No Eis Lasses. But in a Sefer Torah, there's no Eis Lasses.
How about a Megillah?
Megillah is a Negeres. It's a letter. So Bidiyev, if you put dots in the Megillah, it's good. It's good. It's much easier to read. And people do, you should know. There are people who have done it. Today, you're not going to get Shlishi for doing this, but you Yoytze Nikra Megillah. There are people that have done this, some select words they can't memorize, some hard words, they've done it, it's done, no question about it. People have done it, and it's written up, and the Megillah is called a Negeres, it's a letter. The standards are much lower in many respects. So, but the evidence, if you put dots in the Megillah Esther on cloth,
draw
that to the right ahead. If you do a draw that on the Sefer Torah, it's puzzle. If you go and you make a crown on the Sefer Torah, it's a Shalit's Mamish puzzle. Make a Hamelech Sefer Torah. Every column begins with a thing, or you have a hefsek and you put some beautiful drawings. It's possible.
They also making like a barcode. Punctures because it was a
barcode is a problem because the barcode you actually
the barcode, they were talking to little holes and
the little holes are invisible. The mamish invisible. The little holes and it's on the bottom of the cloth. It's passed. It's on the margin. There are many heterim for the codes. They don't even know what they even use. They don't need it anymore. Today they have technology. They don't need this anymore. Today the computer right away. Computer, you scan it in the computer. The computer looks at it. The computer tells you who wrote it. Once they enter a
soifa. All the thousands of stars.
Yes. Every single person has a unique handwriting, and the computer is able to sit to once your person writes one mezuzah. And the computer asks, who wrote this mezuzah? Please tell me who wrote this. And you write down your name, who wrote it. Anytime anyone will ever scan in a mezuzah Sefer Torah, the computer will tell you on its own who wrote this. It's the algorithm, you know, there are different, he came here. The person, there are three competitors. Vad Mishmer Estam, going back about 15 years ago, had a very big Din Torah, an Eretz Yisrael. They had a monopoly. They wanted to crush all the competition. People say a lot of talent, a lot of money in this, in computers, and they wanted to crush the competition. And no one's of them. Anything that's ever written, Stam, is scanned, and they have a central database, the whole world. And only them, a monopoly on kashrus, on scanning and checking. And they had a Din Torah, and they lost the Din Torah. And the Beis Din basically said, you have no monopoly over this, and everyone can do whatever they want. Laissez-faire. And from that broke out three companies. There are now three major companies who have invested enormous amounts of money into their technology, and they're independent. They don't share databases. They don't share. They have a different way of doing things. They're three major companies. Maybe there are more by now. They don't share. And every cipher, one of them was a mechanic. So it was there. A mechanic, he once came here. He told us that he likes this software. He's used to it. He's trained how to use it. He sticks with this. But there are two other competitors. They're just as good. They're different. Everyone has, you know, they're mindless. And you write, so today you don't even need to do the pins anymore. You don't even need this anymore. Because today, once every Sefer Torah today is checked, it's unheard of today not to check a Sefer Torah. No one would buy it. No one would buy a Sefer Torah today if it wasn't checked by the computer. So it's registered, and once it's registered, if someone chasham steals it and they try to sell it on the market, you just make a photocopy of one column and you send to Vadim Mishmer Estam, and they'll tell you in an instant when it was written, who wrote it. They'll tell you the whole history of the Sefer Torah. It's like a car, a VIN number on a car. You have a car, you have a VIN number. You have a VIN number, you can't hide. They'll tell you the history of the car. Every time this car was involved in any situation, they'll tell you the whole history. It's no different today with Sifrei Torah. It's all, everything is all on record. There are three companies, but you could track it down very easily. All right, we're out of time. We're gonna take a very short break, then we can continue our discussion about food. Everyone likes food. We have more halachas about food when we return.